Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
You know, something so different about Jesus is we not only have all these letters about him, but we get to know him now. He's historic and he's present and he's alive today. He's all that wrapped into one. I mean, he's this historic hinge pin figure that changed the world, yet he's alive this very moment and in your row, right now, here, still doing what he used to do, still carrying on his ministry and his love for each one of us, and we can hear from one another what he's like. In addition to the words, in addition to our own experience, we're talking to one another and hearing what he's doing for them. And then we learn more about him that way as well. There is just nothing like Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. And my goal here throughout these weeks is to just unashamedly brag on Jesus. And my hope is that as we talk about him, that you will feel his presence even more, and this fire that we were singing about would just be lit more and more in your heart for him. As we walk with him and as we talk with him, as he becomes our central focus all the time, every day. Colossians 1, 13 through 22. And listen to the beautiful description here of what Jesus does. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness. Were you ever in a domain of darkness? Man, was that a lousy life or what? He rescued you from the domain of darkness, in the grip of sin and evil and darkness and no hope, and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. You were transferred. Some people get job transfers. You were transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his beloved son, of Jesus. He has his own kingdom. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Completely forgiven. Man, there's nothing else that pays for that. Jesus paid for it. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. We always wondered what he looked like. Jesus became the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, all things were created. Isn't that interesting? He was a baby, yet he was before time, creating the universe. All things were created through him, both in the heavens and on the earth. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Ultimately, everything is meant to worship him. Every person and everything. I think the animals are doing it already. I think when birds are singing, I think sometimes it's just worship. Everything was made for him. I think to also display his creativity. And to display how powerful he is, how wonderful he is. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Astrophysicists, scientists, no one can figure out gravity. And there it is, right there. In him all things hold together. He's gravity. He is the power, the unseen source, and energy that holds everything together. In all of the universe, not just here, in all of my life, right? Your life. He's holding things together. Verse 18, he is also head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. He wants to have first place in everything. Verse 19, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, in Jesus, and through him to reconcile all things to himself. Man, there's a message in every line here. having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in your mind, engaged in evil deeds, every one of us, hostile in our mind, alienated from God, our deeds evil, thinking about sin, thinking about involvement with sin all the time. That was the old domain. Yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Man, beautiful. Let me read one more. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. This is spectacular. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, we have an Old Testament full of this. So thankful for it. In these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Through also he made the world. Again, there he is, making the world before time began. And he is the radiance of his glory. Jesus is the radiance of the Father's glory. He's the exact representation of his nature. If you want to know what the Father's like, whatever Jesus said, whatever Jesus did, whatever Jesus behaved, that's just what his Father's like. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, and he has inherited a more excellent name than they. That name, Jesus. That name, Yeshua. That name that's above every other name. That name that at his name, every knee will bow one day. We can do it now though, right? We can bow our knee now. We don't have to wait. That his name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he's the Lord. And then in John 10:10, Jesus said of himself, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's the devil's job description. And when you look around, that's exactly what he does. If there's something that's been stolen or something that's being destroyed, if there's something that's dying, that's the enemy's fingerprint. That's not Jesus. There was one moment when Jesus said, it's so interesting, don't tell anybody about who I am. Remember that? It's in Mark chapter 8, verse 30. Don't tell anybody about me. That was for a moment, but that wasn't for all time. He has been lifted up on the cross. He's been lifted up out of the grave. He's ascended to heaven, and he said, go and speak my name everywhere. Go and tell of me. We get to talk about him. Jesus, you are so amazing. You've done it all. You've delivered us. You've set us free. You've ripped us out of one domain and put us in the domain of where you are, of light and life and peace and joy, your presence. Whew. Luke chapter 7, I want to read this couple of verses. Verse 37 says, there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. That could be said of all of us, right? We don't know what type of sinner. There's an indication that perhaps it had to do with being a prostitute, but we don't know. And when she learned that he, Jesus, was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And we learned from other passages from some of the other gospel writers that this was a very expensive perfume, a year's worth of salary in one bottle. You know, whether that's $50,000 worth or whatever that is in today's, that is how much is in this one bottle. And standing behind him at his feet, you know, when they were eating those days, they didn't have chairs like we have around a table. They've got cushions around a low table and they're all reclining on their left arm, you know, eating like this, and their feet are kind of like this behind him as the table's right there. So she comes behind him, weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. A year's wages in a minute poured over his head, says in one of the other gospels, poured all over his feet. And she is, you know, in that culture, in that time, a woman wouldn't let her hair down like that except for in private. Here she lets her hair down and she's using it to wipe his feet as she's kissing his feet, as she's crying and weeping. That's extravagant. In any culture, at any moment in time, that would be extravagant. Right now, if that were to happen, you would think this woman is demonized. You would think this woman is carried away in her emotion. She needs to go away and go do that somewhere else. And here she is in front of all these men. And it says she was a sinner. Here she was with not the best reputation. She just barges right in there and anoints him, pours out this super expensive perfume over the person of Jesus, starts weeping. This woman who clearly had been touched so deeply that a response just came out of her where she would go to a stranger's home and make a fool of herself without caring and lavishing on Jesus. I'm telling you what, you don't add, this isn't a story someone makes up. This is something someone did because Jesus is that real. And what he does for people is that real. Something happened in her that no one else could do. No one else could fix. That forgiveness she felt, that wholeness, that love that she felt, that she'd never felt before. And it caused something in her to just explode. I've got to pour out my thankfulness. I don't know how, but this is what I've got. I've got the very best. I've got a $50,000 bottle of perfume. I just want to show him that he is worth so much more. I'm just going to pour that out on him. That is not waste. That is beautiful. But that's what Jesus does. He touches people so deeply that this is the kind of thing that happens from it. Do you remember Mary Magdalene? We know from the scriptures that she had seven demons. Have you ever had a demon? If you have, you don't want it. They're tormenting. They're real. This isn't just some sort of fairy tale. This is a real deal. I've seen many people tormented with demons. I've seen many people freed of demons. And they are horrific. It's like being in a prison and the prison guard is beating you. This woman has seven of them. It's like a mobile prison. Wherever she goes, she can't get away from this. They're on the inside tormenting her, beating her up on the inside all the time. Demons could tormenting spirits. And we don't know exactly, we don't have the story. We don't have her version of what happened, but she ran into Jesus. And he went into her prison and he whacked those guys and he kicked them out and he set her free entirely. Seven demons gone, torment gone. The Prince of Peace walked in and peace stayed for the rest of her life. That's what Jesus does. He didn't just come as a baby. He came to grow up and to set people free and to kick demons out and to give peace to people's hearts. And so much so in her life that from that moment, she's following him wherever he goes. Wherever he goes, she's there. We have one of the passages says that there were many women who were following and they were supporting the ministry of Jesus out of their means. They're giving them bread. They're giving them water. They're taking care of these men as they are ministering, as Jesus is healing others. And you've got Mary as one of them who's following him as he's healing other people. Luke 4:18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." This was just before he healed Mary Magdalene. "Because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." Jesus sets free people who are oppressed. If you've been oppressed, I guess if Jesus set you free, and if he hasn't yet, he will. It's what he does. He became her life. So much so she not only followed him while he was ministering, but when he was on the cross, she was there. And then when they took him down from the cross and found a tomb for him, she followed. John chapter 20 gives us a little glimpse of this after Jesus has been in the tomb. John 20 verse 11 says, "But Mary was standing outside of the tomb weeping." Why was she weeping? The stone had been rolled away and Jesus was no longer there, the dead body of Jesus. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And it says that it was dark still. I mean, it was still, she was there early morning. I mean, 3 days after he's been dead, she is still wherever his body is. I mean, he is her life. He's her life. She's there. No hope of any resurrection in her mind at that point. She's just looking for his dead body to be around. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. He's no longer there. Verse 13, "And they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said, 'Because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was him. And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away.' And Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned to look at him. And in Hebrew, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, 'Stop clinging to me.'" Why do you think he had to say that? She dove. She can't live without him. She dove. She's grabbing onto him. And he says, "Stop clinging to me. I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." Do you realize, by the way, that Jesus, when he rose from the dead, had 40 days of mission work to do as he is going around speaking. Who knows where he went around the world? Certainly went in the area there. 500 people saw him. But his plans get detoured by a woman who is so in love with him, is at the tomb, the place that he rose from and left. He goes back there because she's there crying out, weeping. That's a picture of how Jesus responds and what he's like. He arrives where he's wanted. He shows up where he sought. When we pursue him, he appears. It's his nature. It's what he does. He did that for her. He does that for us. Let me share one more quick thing. We'll be done. Matthew chapter 12. Let's look at this real quickly. I'll tell you the story actually. Jesus enters a synagogue. As it says in that chapter, their synagogue. He enters it and the Pharisees immediately see him coming in. And they start questioning him. They said, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" They know the kind of things that Jesus does. He likes to heal. "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" And Jesus gives them a little story and said, "You know, if you got a sheep that falls in a ditch, aren't you going to take him out on the Sabbath?" He doesn't wait for them to answer. He says, "It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." And he looks at this man. There's a man there, and he has a withered hand. He has a normal hand and a withered hand. And Jesus says, he looks right at that man, he says, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched this out and it became normal. And the verse there, it says this in the scripture, it was restored to normal like the other. It was restored to normal like the other. Man, the creator of the world knows what normal is supposed to look like. Normal can be a bad word. It's not a bad word. Jesus designed everything, spoke everything into existence, handmade you and I, for us to live a life. Normal to him means functional, healthy, whole, sound mind, right? Whole in our bodies. And he's the one who restores that, those things that are abnormal to normality. He reconciles. So there's several ways to respond to Jesus. One is to respond by yielding to him. I yield. I've been doing things my way, my way, my way, my way. I stop and I yield. When you're driving your car and you see that yield sign, you've got to stop and let the other folks go first. We can yield to Jesus. Where things have been going my, been done my way and they're not working, I yield to you, Jesus. We can exchange with him. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary, heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come take my yoke upon you, for I'm humble, right? And I'm gonna give you rest for your soul. So we can exchange things that are heavy, things that are weighty on the inside, things that are anxious, anxious thoughts, anxious heart, we can exchange with him and receive his rest. That's the other thing we can do with Jesus. We can receive from him. We can receive whatever we need. We can also begin speaking his name. I've been in a few situations in my life where I felt such a demonic presence that I felt like I was dying. One in particular. I knew it's demonic, and the only thing I'd do was to just begin to say his name. Jesus. 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 Just saying his name over and over, and that thing started to break and lessen and lessen and lessen and lessen and lessen until it was gone. We can speak his name. We can receive from him. He said in Revelation chapter 3 said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, the door of our hearts. We can let him in. He said, if you let me in, I'll dine with you, I'll have dinner with you. That's what he said. I'll dine with you. I'll have a meal with you. I will sit down with you and we can talk. So we can respond even in that. Lord, I let you in. I feel some sort of knock on my heart and I allow you into me. I'm responding to the knock. And we can also invite him. We can just say at any point, Jesus, I invite you into my life. I invite you into my row. I invite you into my car. I invite you into my home. I invite you to my parenting. I invite you into my marriage. I invite you into my church. I invite you into every part of my life. I invite you into my mind. Renew it. He said that he renews our minds and sets us free. Why don't we just take a moment? Whatever it is that you want to do, let's take a moment right now. And let's just respond to him.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.